Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where today we will be talking about emotional safety and love and what I had to learn first. For a long time, I believed emotional safety was something that a partner provided through the right words, steady reassurance, or consistent presence. What I came to understand is that real emotional safety begins much closer to home. In this episode, I share what emotional safety truly is, not as a theory, but as a lived experience. I talk about how it feels to be in the body, the internal work I had to do before I could create or sustain it in a relationship, and how my past shaped emotional triggers I once mistook for chemistry or passion. We explore how maturity required relearning partnership from the inside out, moving from reactivity to regulation, from emotional urgency to inner steadiness. This is a grounded conversation about how emotional safety shows up behaviorally in communication, boundaries, nervous system awareness, and emotional responsibility. I'm also going to reflect on how cultivating inner stability quietly transforms intimacy, allowing love to feel calmer, more spacious, and deeply real. This is an episode for anyone who desires deep connection without emotional chaos and is willing to begin that work within themselves first. So in preparation for this episode today, sometimes I allow cards to guide what I want to share with you and maybe to sometimes frame what it is or what the energy of the episode is going to be. So today I'm actually using Alana Fairchild's Sacred Rebels Oracle deck. And honestly, I love when this happens, when you pull the card and it 100% lines up with what you want to talk about. And today when I did that, I got this card called Beyond the Mind, the Heart Beats. And anyone familiar with Alana Fairchild, the artwork is absolutely beautiful in these decks. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's really long, but I am going to read what stood out to me most about this card. And it says, this oracle has a message for you. There is the way of the mind, which can make mountains out of molehills, even when it thinks it is turning mountains into molehills. Then there is the way of the heart. It is a subterranean and moves subtly beneath possible obstacles, intelligently shifting with exquisite sensitivity, sensing the way forward through dangerous pathways and responding to what is before it even occurs in the physical world. And I thought that was such a beautiful reminder of the journey through learning emotional safety. So for those of you who've been tuning in, this month is all about talking about love, love of self, love of others, both romantic, familial, friendships. And then, of course, there's love of humanity, your fellow man. And for me, I think that a lot of the journey of love is but first starting with yourself. And that was the piece that I certainly was not fully cognizant of until much deeper into this journey. And so for me, on this experience over the last few years, I really feel like it's been, you know, the divine breaking me down in ways that I did not conceive so that I could learn to take all that energy that I was pouring outward and begin to focus it inward. And that is really what these last few years have been. So today, that is what I'm going to share with you is that journey, what it looked like. And I did use cards to help frame all of this. And the craziest part is that when I looked at the cards, I didn't go through the deck and pick those cards. I was shuffling. And what I was intending was like, help me frame this in a way that makes sense, that I can transmit to the audience in a way that they'll be able to understand and that it'll be able to settle into the sinew of yourselves. So interestingly enough, the first card was Heartbreak, the Three of Swords. And the Three of Swords is all about, yes, it's about heartbreak, but for me, it was how I intellectualized and logicked whatever pain that I was going through. I wasn't really feeling into it. I was thinking my way through it. And that love wasn't one specific event, it was many. When I looked back, it was pain associated with abandonment, rejection, not being good enough. Sometimes in the excess, being too much, overwhelming, so on and so forth. But the reality is that I needed to go through it. And now, as I look back on all the years, right, from the very, very first memory that I had or could recall, there were so many different events, and most of them were actually about rejection. Most of them were about not being accepted for who I was or what I was bringing to the experience. And when I intellectualized it, I wasn't able to really feel into it and see beyond that experience itself and begin to ask myself those questions that really get to the root of the issue. And I find that after every experience of pain and rejection, abandonment, betrayal, whatever the case may be, inevitably what happened was I just became more and more brittle. And this wouldn't necessarily have been obvious to the people in my experience, but internally, I think what I was doing is I was withdrawing or holding back. And I can remember, being in those experiences with people where I was not saying what I even just energetically holding back. And it's funny, the thing about energy is like you really can't hide it. People can really feel when you're not really fully there or present or giving them all of yourselves. And everybody does it. It's not a unique thing to me, but we all do that. And I think that we do that in a way to protect ourselves from what we perceive to be danger. And when I think about what my beliefs might have been in those experiences, it was, again, you gotta show up a certain way in order to be part of the group, or you gotta be compliant, obedient. These are all things, all lessons that were very early parts of my experience and my childhood, that only if you listened and did what other people told you to do, then you could be accepted into the fold of the family or the fold of the tribe. And so, if you think about what that looks like in reality, like, and not sorry, just reality, but as you go through life and become an adult. So, as a child, the idea being you got to obey and be compliant and submit in order to be accepted as one of our tribe. Let's fast forward to being an adult and how that actually shows up. And so when I was able to take a step back and look and see, oh, okay. And again, this is not a transmission that is meant to be about blame or anger or any of those things. I'm relaying my experience to you in a way so that maybe if it sounds like you or you can identify with parts of my story, I offer it as a possible way to navigate your own things that you're working through at this moment in time. So, anyways, back to what I was saying about fast forwarding and taking that idea from childhood, fast forwarding in towards being an adult. Well, now that means that I'm attracting experiences where I feel like I need to comply and obey and submit in order to be accepted into the group or the experience, and not stand out. Now, the funny thing is, I've always been a little bit of a black sheep. So I really struggled in all ways, right? And what I mean when I say that is I struggled with not conforming. And then equally, I struggled with not feeling completely safe to just fully be myself. So it's interesting that while I had this idea from childhood, there was still a lot of friction along the way because I couldn't do that. I didn't know how to do that. There was something always within me that wouldn't allow me to do that. And so inevitably what ends up happening is the devil. And I don't mean the devil in the sense of all bad things. The devil, depending on how it shows up and where it shows up, can mean a lot of things. But in this conversation and in this context, it was about attachment, an unhealthy attachment. Attachment that was not intimacy, but one could misunderstand as intimacy. We'll call it trauma bonding. So again, remember childhood idea of what love and acceptance looks like, fast forward to being an adult. And that means that now every connection that I'm going into, I am creating this same type of dynamic, one of compliance and control and giving away power and these kinds of things. So I was very confused about what trauma bonding looks like versus real, genuine connection, and confusing even further what intensity looked like with that desire, that deep-rooted desire. I am a lover by nature. Like, that is who I am. But really confusing what those things would look like. And in the process of that, overgiving, overfunctioning, people pleasing, because now it's different, right? It went from this childhood desire. And interestingly enough, I was able to, you know, get my way out of that, right, and start to dance to the beat of my own drum. But when you're out there and you are seeking intimate love in the way of a romantic partnership, then it shows up in these ways, right? Overdoing, overpleasing, overfunctioning, just overdoing all of it. And what am I trying to do? I'm trying to grip this connection in an effort to create safety and a sense of belonging, and finally having someone meet me with the love that I was desiring in the connection. And further to that, you know, given that we learn these things when we're young, it becomes a conditioned response. It becomes something that you're used to. You know, familiarity breeds comfort. And even if it's not comfort that you particularly like, it's still familiar. And so there is still a sense of comfort and safety in it, even though your nervous system is screaming at you in all kinds of ways. And often when I reflect on these experiences and bring the content to you, it's funny because I get to see the different ways that my body was showing up, my mind was showing up, my nervous system was showing up. And the one that stands out to me the most is when I had an eczema flare. Now, I've had eczema for many years, but for the most part, it was under control for a really long time. And then it flared up a few years ago, and I thought that it was weather. You know, I live in a dry climate in Canada and a very hot, humid climate in Nigeria. But I thought that it was perhaps, you know, the going back and forth. But that wasn't it, because that eventually calmed down and then it flared up again. So I thought, okay, maybe it's food, maybe it's my clothes, maybe it's my soap, all these external things, right? And I'm searching and searching and searching. And then one day I bought a book, Heal Your Body by Louise Hay. And what it said for eczema was basically antagonistic thoughts, like eruptions. And really what it boiled down to was anger. But I couldn't really see what the anger was in my life at that moment. But now as I, in later years, when I reflected back, I recognized that essentially what I was doing was I was emotionally bypassing. I was angry. I was very angry. I was angry about many things in my life. It wasn't even, and I couldn't see it because there was nothing in my immediate experience that should point to anger. But then once I started, you know, going back in time and peeling back the layers, and often how I do this is when I'm in meditation, I'll just ask what needs to be healed at this moment. And, you know, a memory will surface. So the reason why I bring that up is because once I was able to begin to see these things and how they were showing up in my intimate relationships around the trauma bonding and the overdoing it, the overgiving, functioning, so on and so forth, I could see that really I was probably very angry about all of these things, because as much as I was overdoing it, I wasn't getting what I was looking for in return. And so, of course, this then brings us to the Nine of Swords. But before I talk about the Nine of Swords, what I'm going to do here is we're going to go into a break. And when we return, we will talk more about what I learned next, which was living in the mind and not in the moment, or what I needed to identify. So with that, we will be right back. We will be right back after this break.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I'm talking about emotional safety and love and what I had to learn first. So the first segment, I was sharing some of the insights that I've had around my experience throughout the course of my life in terms of trying to create emotional safety. And it's my firm belief that it really does all begin very, very early in our lives. And one of the things that I was sharing is that I had learned very early, or the experience that I had very early in my life was one of silence, obedience, compliance, and submission, and taking all of those themes and now trying to apply that into romantic love. And it doesn't work well. Well, maybe it works for some people well, but it didn't work for me. And not that I'm saying that, I think what I mean when I say it didn't work for me is taking those ideas and putting those within the context of a romantic relationship. It's like my soul was rejecting it the entire time. Like, this is not what this is supposed to be for you. If that is what you have in your own life and it brings you joy, peace, and happiness, that is fabulous, but it was not bringing me joy, peace, and happiness. And before I move on, right before the break, I was moving into the next card that came up, but there was one more thing that I wanted to say about this devil card, because the devil card is about addiction and attachment. And what I didn't realize is that I was addicted to the feeling of being needed. And this one's a tricky one because it still shows up in my world. I know that on this podcast, I've talked before about this phase of, as an example of being a parent to adult children. And sometimes I'll say to my ex-husband, like, geez, this phase really challenges me. And he'll be like, really? It's like so easy. They're like done. We're done. We're finished. But the reason that it challenges me is exactly what I just said about being addicted to the feeling of being needed. Because when my kids were younger, they need you all the time for all kinds of things, right? Feed them, clothe them, love them, take them here, take them there. Then eventually it pivots into like needing you for guidance and advice. But now it's like, I get called upon when they really need me. And so that's why this phase has been so challenging, because the way they need me is so different. So these things, and this is what I mean about this journey, right? Like, just when you think you're done with something, it shows up in a different way. And that's how I think the entire journey of life is, to be really honest with you, until you become some kind of ascended master. But I don't think that's my journey here. But my point is that I really wanted to highlight, because the devil does usually denote addiction. And there were other kinds of addictions. You know, there were addictions to numbing and avoidance and all kinds of coping mechanisms. But I'm glad that that card actually came out to highlight that part of my life. Next, I was moving on to the Nine of Swords. I hate this card. It is one of my least favorite. That and the Three of Swords. When those ones come up, I am like, ugh. What is coming? But the Nine of Swords, when you see this in the traditional Rider-Waite card deck, the Rider-Waite tarot deck, it's a card that always makes me feel like despair, anguish, hopelessness. But if you know anything about the messages behind the tarot, the swords are always about mental, right? And because I am someone who spends a lot of time in my mind, this often shows up for me, because I spend a lot of time intellectualizing how I'm feeling about things and practically creating way more out of the teeniest, tiniest things. And maybe that'll resonate with some of you that are equally mental dwellers and really can create a lot of anguish for yourself out of the tiniest of things. And so it's almost like, even though I was having these experiences in my relationships, it's almost like the fact that I like to sit in my head a lot and logic things and intellectualize things, I was making them a lot worse than they really needed to be. I was creating my own anxiety. I was literally creating my own experience of despair and anguish and just hopelessness. I hate this card. I can't say it enough. So I guess the guidance here would be, or the question here, the invitation here, the thing that I had to learn was, how can I pull myself out of overthinking? How can I pull myself out of ruminating and dwelling on the past and replaying the conversation and dissecting it and just kind of like, it's a, you know, the thing I love about myself and the thing that absolutely annoys me about myself are the same thing. And it's my ability to look at something 1,000 different ways. It obviously has really positive aspects of it, but equally and inversely, it also has really not so awesome things about it. And that is the ability to like really constantly go into thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. So I had to figure out a way to get out of my own head. And the constant analyzing of, did I say the wrong thing? Did I do the wrong thing? How can I show up better for this other person in this experience? And so there's a price that we pay with that. And for me, it was this. It was despair and a lot of anguish. Anguish is the word. And even now as I'm replaying it, I'm just like, I'm feeling it heavy and not enjoying it. But that's the toll, right? That's the price that you pay, is that you create an experience that you don't want. But here's the really beautiful news, is that I did eventually learn. And this card actually looks a lot more hopeful than it actually says, but it's this is the Death card. And so there had to be, and in this particular deck, it doesn't just say death, it's death and rebirth. Because inevitably, when something dies, we're making way for something new to come in, a new way of being, a new way of thinking, a new way of showing up. And, you know, especially after the mental anguish that I was putting myself through and the constant replaying of conversations or past experiences in my life, this was welcome in so many different ways. The end of showing up in that way, the end of old patterns. And once that happened, it shifted the way everything else occurred. And what I mean when I say that is, sometimes when I'm talking to people that I work with, or, you know, my friends and family, one thing that I will say to them is, you know, I'll give advice to somebody or I'll give some guidance. I'll say, you know, you got to go first. And inevitably, there's always this feeling that they have of like, why? Why do I have to go first? Why am I the one who's doing all the things? And I said, well, because you have the knowledge now. You have the experience. I'm giving you the awareness of it. And if it resonates with you and if it feels right for you, then that's the reason why you have to go first. And that's why this was so important. Because once the death of the way that I was showing up happened, well, then it allowed other people around me to either show up and meet me in a new way or move away from my experience. And I'm happy to report that it is, they showed up. They began to meet me where I was. They began to revert or, sorry, mirror back to me what I was now showing, which was instead of overgiving and overdoing and overpleasing and ultimately making myself really, really, really small to fill into my perception of what they wanted, I was just showing up very authentically, or not wholly. This is a journey. These are baby steps. But I was beginning to show up in a much more authentic and vulnerable way. And instead of blaming external things on where I was, really just choosing to settle within myself and begin to show up in a very, very different way. So the question I pose to you is, what in your life needs to die away to allow for something new to emerge within yourself? And I love the timing of this because, of course, Chinese New Year is around the corner. And for those of you who follow Chinese zodiacs, and I'm not well conversant in it, but 2025 was such a challenging year. There was a lot of death. And I don't mean that in the physical sense. A lot of dying away of previous versions of myself is what I mean. But as we come to the close of this particular year, thank goodness, year of the horse is coming. It's my year. I ask you, what can you allow to die away within yourself to make way for something new to come in? What truths are you finally willing to face and resolve within yourself to allow something new to come in? And this doesn't always mean that emotional safety has to begin with a new person externally. The new person that the emotional safety begins with is you. That's what we're making way for. So this is not me saying, let go. I mean, if that resonates with you, to let go of a relationship, fill your boots. But what within yourself can you let go of to make way for this new self, this new awareness, this new way that you want to show up? And once we begin to ask those questions, then beautiful, juicy things start to happen. And this card here is the Ace of Swords. I love aces. Who doesn't love an ace? Planting seeds, beginnings of things. But again, you can see there's a lot of swords here for me. So I'm a real mental dweller. But the Ace of Swords is all about new ways of doing things, new ideas, new information makes its way to you. And this particular card, the reason I love this card so much is because it's like that beam that's coming down and into this woman's brain is very much how I was feeling when these things would come about, because it's like a new idea would be gifted to me, and a new person would come into my life. Some kind of new information would make its way into my experience of how I could do this very, very differently. And I got to tell you, it was really, really rewarding to be in that space, especially after, you know, those really, really heavy cards. And if you notice, like, they were heavy weighted cards. There was like the Three of Swords, which is about heartbreak. There was the Devil, which is about attachment. And then there was the Nine of Swords, which is all about anguish, pain, and despair. And so getting to these two places where it's like, okay, that's dying away and you're going to be gifted with something new was relief. That's what it was. And this, I wasn't throwing cards during all of this, but as I'm sharing with you this experience, that's exactly how it happened. So We are about to go to break, but before that, I want to share with you what we'll be talking about coming up here. We'll talk more about the new ideas that had come about and how I began to build emotional safety for myself. So we will be right back and we'll dive in more.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where today what I am talking about is emotional safety and what I had to learn first. In the first and second segments, I was going over the journey to this point, and we'll just recap what those looked like. So, of course, I had to go through some heartbreak, and that would be dating back many, many years. Then I had to recognize that I was addicted to being needed and trauma bonding. And then, of course, we had to go through some despair. We really had to get low in the experience. And boy, was it low. But I'm happy to report that eventually there was a death of all those old patterns that were keeping me stuck to being addicted to being attached. Or, yeah, you know what I mean. And then this is where, well, I'm not here right now, but in this particular journey, this is what came next, which was the Ace of Swords, which is learning new ways of doing things. How do I show up differently to begin to create the life that I am looking for, or trying to create, sorry, for myself? And that began first with truth, not dodging truth and getting really brutally honest with myself. And the thing about honesty is, how can we do it in a way that we are not allowing ourselves to be pulled into victimhood or shame and judgment of self? But how do we do it in a way that we can still be able to hold a container of love and safety for ourselves? But it did begin with truth. And once we are able to begin to tell our truth without softening it, and this is not outward, this is to yourself. And sometimes I will find myself saying to people, I will ask them questions and I will very clearly say to them, that answer is not for me. That answer is for you. And I often find that when I invite people into that, it almost relaxes them into knowing that this is not something that they need to tell anybody. This is something, because, you know, we can lie to all kinds of people outside of ourselves, or we can lie to everyone in our experience. But I don't know that lying to ourselves ever serves us in any positive way. And once I began to tell myself some very, very honest truths, I was able to figure out what exactly it was that I needed. And the beautiful thing about showing up in this new way is I didn't feel like I needed to justify it. I didn't feel like I needed to explain it. And that, I think, was the turning point of beginning to understand that I was okay with letting go of the addiction to being needed. I was allowing for the fact that this might not resonate with this other person in my experience. They might not like this new version of me that is, you know, making all kinds of noise. But I had to learn how to begin to be okay with it, if that was in fact going to be, you know, the result of that new honesty with myself and then eventually with others. And then I had to also learn how to begin to trust myself and my inner knowing. And that takes a really, really, I mean, again, for some of you, this comes really easy. But I think that when you go through an extended period of, we'll say, less than feel good experiences, you really begin to question whether or not you know what you're doing. So I had to figure out a way to begin to trust my inner knowing. And for me, this was like in all the small ways. And so if you're in that spot right now where you are trying to build that trust within yourself, I encourage you to start small. And it would be in all the teeny tiny things. It would be like, you know, just for example, being in a parking lot and saying to myself, okay, I need to find a parking spot and I want to find one that's close to the door. Do I go left or I go right? And the first answer that came to my head is the one that I followed. Those are the teeny tiny ways in our day that we begin to build trust within ourselves. And the more that you do it, the more, and it seems really small and it seems really insignificant, but if you don't start in small and significant ways, then how can you begin to trust yourself, your inner self and your knowing? If you're not I don't want to say testing it, but building the muscle in the small, insignificant ways in your life. So once I began to trust my inner knowing and show up with the things that I needed and that I desired, this is really, like I said, where the real magic began. But that also required me to be willing to sit in the unknown and not have all of the answers and not push when everything in me, and that's very much the energy of who I was, can sometimes be. But when I want something to come together, it used to be that I am like pushing, 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 and how do I make it happen? And how do I make it happen? And some of you might resonate with that energy, but I found that sometimes that just doesn't work. And the example that I'm going to use is very much when I was a mortgage broker. And when I was a mortgage broker, I would often get files that were really, really, really complicated, really complicated. They were the kinds of files I had to spread out all over my desk and mind, like write out like how I was going to work on this file. And that's great as a mortgage broker, right? Having many options and many different ways that we can help a client, you know, buy the house of their dreams. But I would take that exact same energy and I would put it to a task in life. And sometimes we're not meant to push through something. Sometimes, and that is tied directly back into learning how to trust when we are supposed to employ divine masculine energy, which is that push through or that action energy, versus the sitting in either not knowing or allowing the flow of life to really carry you. And so that one was a really, and continues to be a hard one for me, sitting in this not knowing. It can be extremely frustrating. But once I began to get comfortable with that, it allowed me to also not rush or control what was happening around me. It allowed me to move into the energy of there is a plan that is bigger than me as an individual. And while I can't see all of the pieces, I'm going to trust that each piece will come to me when I need it and I will know where to put it. And even if I don't know where to put it, I'm just going to park it right here and eventually the information will start to make sense. This is when I began to allow intuition to take over more than I let my fear guide me. Making decisions out of a place of fear doesn't serve anybody ever. I don't think it ever serves anybody. And I'm going to say that in an absolute way, because you're operating from a space that is very reactionary. You're not operating from a space Actually, I shouldn't maybe say never. There is a reason for fear, but it's not it's not applicable in the way that we live life generally now. That is what I will say. Generally speaking, most of us are not in danger moment to moment, fighting for our lives because something is going to eat us around the corner. That's generally not our experience. But the way that we tend to allow fear to really rule us and control our life and allow us to make decisions, I don't think that this experience that we walk together is meant to be lived like that. And so that took a lot of courage to allow myself to be guided by something I couldn't see. I could feel it, but I certainly couldn't see it. And so the question that I had posed, or the understanding that I needed to come to, was eventually understanding that just because you don't know doesn't mean that there's danger. And that takes a lot of patience, or at least for me, it took a lot of patience to sit in this place of not knowing, not having the answers, and really ultimately getting comfortable with that. So there's often times now where people are, in fact, I just did a social media post about this, but I was recently really struggling with social media and marketing and how to get my message out there and all this other kind of stuff. And there was all this external noise that was like trying to tell me what to do. And I remember saying to some people, like, you know what? I'm just going to pause. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to wait until I am guided. And the reason why I was doing that is because I could feel the crescendo of my own frustration around not having the answer. And so as life would have it, I was having another conversation with somebody. And as we were talking, it was in that moment of conversation. And we weren't even talking about social media or marketing. We were talking about something completely, well, it was related, but it wasn't directly about that. And through the course of this conversation, I looked at her and I said, I finally got it. I got the answer of how I'm supposed to show up. And it's when we relax and allow this to happen, that is when you will get the answer. And that's exactly, and it was this week, it finally happened. And then it was like as soon, and that's the balance, which we'll get to here, but that is the balance of how just relaxing into not knowing, relaxing into not having the answer. And as soon as I let my guard down with that, then the inspiration came through. And then with it, it put me into action. That's when I got to use the divine masculine energy. So you see, it's all related. It's all related. Sometimes you might land here, and you know, this month I'm talking a lot about love, but the things that I'm sharing, you know, I'm talking about love in today's episode, but here I am giving an example of something where as soon as I learned how to relax and trust that I didn't have the answer in that moment and let my guard down just a little bit, then the information actually came in to inspire me into like what direction to go and what to do. This is the balance and the dance that we are always doing between the two energies. And the beautiful, beautiful, juicy thing about that is that once we begin to, what was I just saying? I was talking about dancing with the duality of those energies. And this is the card that came next, which is the Four of Wands. The Four of Wands is all about celebration. It's like victory. Wands are about passion and creativity. And when you look at the energy of this card, it is all about celebration. These gals are loving life and they are excited. And because wands are all about fire and passion and creativity, it's like, and it's so funny because, you know, I'm here sitting here talking about social media and that's exactly what happened, right? I sat in this uncertainty and was a little uncomfortable with it in all honesty. But as soon as I let go of feeling like I needed to have the answer came. And as soon as I got the answer, I immediately went to work with it. I immediately took that inspiration and I got to say it worked out really, really, really well. It has been working out really well once I knew what to do with it. And I think the message of the Four of Wands is that safety is not safety when we finally get there. We all know what it, well, maybe we don't all know what it feels like, but once I started to know and understand what safety felt like, it felt like this. You know, something that you could celebrate, something that you could lean into fully, something that felt grounded, something that felt stable. And it's something that you got to embody. Once you know it, like, how do you explain it to somebody unless you've begun to feel what that looks like for you? So we're going to talk a little bit more about safety and what that actually feels like, but we need to go to break here. So when we come back, we will talk about safety, what it feels like, and desire without chaos. We will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network. If you are enjoying this show and today's content, please find me on your favorite listening platform and go give me a 5-star review, please. And as always, if you have any questions, comments, feedback, if you want to be a guest, send me an email at Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. That's Charisse at PAVITRA leadership.com. I know it's a lot. Anyways, moving on. So right before we went to commercial, just to maybe quickly recap for those of you that might be joining us a little late, in the first segment, I talked very much about the experience that I needed to go through, which was heartbreak, recognizing that I was addicted to being needed, and then the despair and anguish that came along with that. Next, after going through those juicy experiences, which I really, really loved, I did actually, there needed to be a death and a rebirth, a death of the old way of being so that something new could come in. And boy, did something new come in. I learned how to begin to show up differently, a new way of thinking, a new way of showing up, a new way of being. And one of those new ways of being was learning how to trust myself and trust the unknown. And sometimes we have to sit in the discomfort of not knowing what's coming in order to begin to allow the space of the divine to work with us. And once I began to really lean into that energy, I felt like I was really rewarded. I was rewarded with information, ideas, new awarenesses that allowed me to really celebrate the journey. And even though this story is this constant cycle of ups and downs, I mean, it's life, let's face it, there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. But I finally felt like I was getting to a place where I could really lean in to friends, family, relationships, experiences, and just feel safe and accepted. Because I was finally beginning to show up in a way that wasn't scared, that wasn't bracing for impact, that the consistency that I was looking for all along was me. That's what was inconsistent. It was me allowing myself to be pulled into the drama and the trauma, and ride this roller coaster of not even of life. I mean, life's going to do what it does, but the consistency and the stability that I was looking for so desperately outside of myself needed to come from me first. And so I remember saying to people, like, you know, life is going to do what it's going to do. What I want more than anything else is to feel so stable and so solid within that. And as soon as I stopped looking outside of me to create that and just generating it from within myself. This is really, really when I began how to embody this energy. This is the Knight of Wands. And wands, remember what I said about wands. Wands are all about how do we create, how do we tap into that fire energy. And when you look at this lady, and I love that it's the year of the horse, because in this card, when you look at it, I mean, that's me. I mean, no, really, I'm more like Queen of Wands. Okay, well, actually, I'm a Queen of Swords. But when you look at the energy of this card, she is in joy. She has so much energy. She is excited about life. She is passionate about what she is going to do. You've got that horse in the background that is like wild and free. And that is the energy of the wands. The wands are very much about passion and creativity. And how do we bring that energy into our relationships without creating chaos? And the answer that I have for myself is I take that energy and I put it into the things that fuel me. What I want in my desire in my romantic relationships is intimacy, communication, and honesty. That's what I want in my intimate relationships. I do not want fiery, burning, like, yes, I want passion, but I don't want things that are going to scorch the earth. And I think that that's what I was creating before, was an experience of like scorching earth and creating a lot of instability within me, within him, and ultimately within our union. And then moving from this energy of fire and creation, this is actually me. This is 100% who I am and how I show up. This is about discernment and about boundaries. And again, that queen energy is very much about sitting into a knowingness and being really confident within that and not seeking outside. If you think about queens and what they represent just like that energy of it's not frantic. It's not searchy. It's not needy. It's very much I am energy. And that energy is about owning my own emotions, being responsible for processing them, being responsible for communicating what those boundaries for me are without feeling like I needed to over explain or justify or validate. They're already validated because they're my own emotions. They're ultimately the things that I need for myself to create emotional safety and security. And the most important thing in all of that was finally being willing to communicate it, not just assuming that the other person should just know. Well, why? How would they? People don't generally roll around in life reading minds. It was up to me to communicate what it was that I needed in the experience. And as I quoted Brené Brown for saying recently, clear is kind. So the clearer I could get in my communication of what I needed, what my boundaries were, it then allows the other person the freedom and the invitation to do the exact same thing. So what changed when I trusted myself more than what the outcome was is just this new calm that had come over me, this new stability. It was, I think the way that I had explained it to somebody before was like there was this new softness that had come about after 2025. And the last card that I had pulled was the Strength card. And what a beautiful, beautiful card. And this is the point that I wanted to make. And it's so funny that I got this card because I said the gift that I got from 2025 was this new strength, but it wasn't strength in a steely way. It was strength in a soft way. And look at how that's depicted there. You've got the fierceness of a lion, but then you've got the gentleness of the lamb. And that's exactly what I feel like I came away with in 2025, was learning how to be strong, but not in a way that overpowered people, that threatened people, that scared them. I could still stand in my own and I could still love you, but I didn't need to be scary within that. I am also learning how to let love be slow and gradual. So the only question I'm going to pose to you as we leave here today is what are you ready to let end and die away in these final weeks of the year of the snake? With a both, until next time, please take care of yourselves.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Charisse returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.